The Secret Collector by Abigail Johnson. Read by Tom Allenby. For Noah and Joby, follow your dreams. Birmingham, 1999. Chapter 1. A Change in the Weather. Alfred had not let anyone inside his house for almost 3 years. Not that anyone cared. The overgrown weeds and bushes that swamped the small front garden were usually enough of a deterrent to any potential callers. If the postman arrived, Alfred opened the door the couple of inches that the chain allowed and instructed him to leave whatever he had on the doorstep. It was better to keep yourself to yourself. The trouble with people was that they liked to interfere, and Alfred had had quite enough of having his business poked into. He lifted a record out of its sleeve and dusted it with a soft nylon brush before placing it on the turntable of his favourite record player, number 12 in his catalogue of collections. Dansett Imperial, 1965. Green and cream, condition good. Output 8 watts, undistorted. He'd found it in a skip, of all places. Things that other people had thrown out, discarded, or considered worthless were often given a place in his heart. He didn't choose them according to their value, but rather their beauty, uniqueness, or even an imagined past. In fact, he often wondered if they chose him. If required, he cleaned them and restored them with linseed oil, lacquer paint, silver polish, or superglue. As the needle found its familiar path in the well-worn grooves, the violin notes of "The Lark Ascending" filled the living room. Alfred turned up the volume and closed his eyes, imagining that he was soaring through the sky. He stretched his arms out slowly, feeling the cold breeze against his cheeks, the wind ruffling what was left of his hair, the sun smiling through the clouds and warming him through his buttoned-up coat. When the music ended, he opened his eyes again and was immediately flattened by the stuffiness of his semi-dark living room. Some time ago, he decided to cover the windows up with newspaper to keep prying eyes out. It saved all the bother of curtains, and also meant he had an encyclopedic knowledge of the news stories of the 22nd of February, 1997. It would be his mastermind specialist subject, if ever he was asked. Dolly, the cloned sheep, stole the headlines that day, but it was the smaller, blink-and-you'll-miss-them stories that he liked best. The one about the council health and safety meeting that ended in an officer breaking his leg on the way out still made him chuckle. It was almost tea time. He'd reheat the beef stew he'd made earlier and take a couple of slices of bread out of the freezer to toast. As a war veteran, Alfred knew quite a bit about being prepared. However, it took rather a lot of planning, which was becoming harder as the years passed. Nevertheless, he'd ensured that his larder was packed with 2 months' worth of tins in case the millennium bug did its worst. He had 3 smoke alarms, 4 torches, a sprinkler system, 20 spare light bulbs, a box of ballpoint pens, 3 hot water bottles, and an emergency backpack filled with Kendall mint cake and a whistle, just in case. This was the time of day when he was usually restless and the house began to feel too big, despite bursting at the seams with his possessions. He searched for his crossword book, remembering a particularly stubborn 7 across beginning with the letter D that he'd been unable to solve the previous day. It was always a good idea to keep busy. That way, there was less time to think. He rummaged through several boxes, but was unable to locate it. However, buried beneath a patchwork eiderdown, he stumbled upon his barometer, one of his all-time favourite objects. All at once, his thoughts were with Ida, his wife. It had been 5 years now since she died. He knew she wasn't coming back, and yet sometimes he'd think of something that only she would understand, and the fact that he couldn't share it with her splintered his heart. At first, one of the hardest things about losing her had been the empty space beside him. It followed him around like an extra shadow. The bed seemed vast, and the dining room table mocked him with its